How's everybody doing today? Good to see you. My name is Lance. If this is your first time here, welcome to Bethel. We're going to be in John chapter 15. We're going to kick this series off today in John chapter 15. Before I read John 15, I do want you to know that Pastor Richard is doing something very historic this morning. He is speaking at Spring Creek Baptist Church just down the street here, and he is the first non-Baptist ever to speak at this church. That's pretty historic. This church is the second oldest church in Clarksville. Second oldest, so it's over 100 years old. Also, more than likely, he's probably the first African-American to ever speak at this church. And so this is huge, man. Bethel's taking the value of diversity all across this city. Amen. If you're not in a community group, listen, this is a great series. These are in the seat back directly in front of you. If you could, if you're not in a community group, what we're doing is we're taking these messages that we're talking on, we're breaking them down throughout the week in our community groups. And so you can use the back of this card. You'll see all of our community groups that are offered. Check it. Put your name, phone, email. You can place this. You can give this to me or one of the ushers as you leave today, and we'll get in contact with you and give you the location, all the things you need to know about these groups. John 15, here we go. This is Jesus talking to us. We're going to read a couple of verses. Jesus says, starting in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Why does he do that? So that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Jesus makes it clear. I'm the vine. You, that's us, are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he says, you can do nothing. So skip on down to verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Father, we love you. Speak through me. Encourage us today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You know, guys, I love speaking about relationships. Love, dates, and heartbreaks. I love that title. And I love speaking about relationships because I think we all can agree that whether in a dating relationship or whether we are married, relationships are difficult. They're difficult. And so I like helping people in their relationship. Not only that, but I like preparing people for relationships. And so this thing called relationships, especially marriage, is a big, big deal. Friends, who you give your heart away to, if you don't know it, is a big deal. It's a very big deal. And as we jump in here today, I want you to know who this series is for. This series is for young people who want to date and for those who one day hope to date. This series is for those who are dating. This series also is for those who are married. And maybe they're saying to themselves, or maybe even to their spouse, something has to change. Has anybody ever made that comment before to your spouse? Something has to change. Because I don't know how much longer I can keep going if this does not change. This series also is for those who were married, but maybe they've gone through a divorce, or maybe you lost your loved one. And through a time of healing, now you're ready to jump back into the scary waters of dating. It's scary. And you know, dating today is not like when you were 18, 19, 20 years old. That the game has changed and you are scared to death. See, this is the thing that we can all agree on when it comes to our romantic relationships. Whether we're married, dating, hope to date, wherever we are. Is relationships are complicated. They were complicated at 15. They're complicated at 18. They were complicated at 20. Can we say they might even be complicated in your 40s, right? I'm 41. Maybe even into your 50s. I think when we finally get into our 70s, man, we've got this thing figured out. Now we can be successful, whether it's marriage or in dating. So someday my wife and I are going to get there. It's complicated, right? Now let me say this as we again jump in. If you are here today and you've gone through a divorce, or if you're here and you're struggling when it comes to this thing called dating, the last thing you want to hear, and I know, is a message series on relationships. It is the very last thing you want anybody to talk about. I want you to know I'm in the same boat with you. Because even though I like speaking on relationships because they're difficult and they help people, on the other end, I don't like them. Because they remind me of how bad I'm doing. And if you know anything about me, I like all positive stuff, nothing negative. I want to stick to the positive. And so I like talking about things that I'm good, right? Good at doing. And relationships sometimes is what I struggle with. But if you really, truthfully, if you've gone through a divorce, this series is not here to bring shame and condemnation on you. I know, and we know as a church family, nobody wants to go through a divorce. Nobody ever wants to go through the heartbreak and heartache of going through a divorce. And this series is not about making us feel bad about ourselves or bad about some of the decisions maybe we have made in the past. This series is designed to encourage us. This series is designed to help us make better decisions when it comes to if we're married or even if we're dating or one day, hope today. Because really, our desire should be, no matter where we are, I want to honor Jesus in my romantic relationships. That should be our goal. I want to honor Jesus in my marriage, while I'm single, or even while I am dating. The reason why this series is called, the reason why the word heartbreaks is in this series is because it breaks God's heart, my heart, and I know your heart. When we watch people make decisions, and we know sometimes looking on the outside in, hey, if you do that, that's not going to be healthy for your relationship. And it breaks God's heart sometimes, decisions that we make in our romantic relationships. And usually when we break God's heart, our heart also is broken as well. To all the ladies out there, come on, ladies, you here with me this morning? You're going to love this series. Ladies, I want you, if you're single, or if you're dating, or even if you're married, I don't want you to be treated like a commodity. You know what a commodity is? A commodity is something that is used and then discarded when that person is done using that thing. Ladies, you are not a commodity. You're not something that can be just discarded or traded at will. This is not you. God did not design you to be like that. God wants you to be treated the way you deserve to be treated. And as a man speaking this morning, if you feel like or have been treated that way, I just want to say I'm sorry. Because that should have never have happened. If you're married and your husband is treating you like that, you need to come talk to me. You need help. Sometimes we need to bring people that we trust into our marriage or into our relationships to get the help that we need. Now, that's if you're married. If you're dating, and you got a guy treating you like that, let me tell you what you need to do. You need to kick him to the curb. Get rid of that sorry joker. Because unless Jesus radically changes his life, it's not going to change. So if you're married, hey, you can't just discard the brother. Look, you're in a covenant. We got to work through it. We got to work through that, all right? That's why you got to come talk to me. But if you're dating, hey, you can do whatever you want. My pastor said you got to go, so you got to go. You know, God is very serious, though, and we see this in his word, men, how we treat women. Very serious. How we treat our spouse, how we treat other women. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, you can look this up later, he even says that our prayers, men, will be hindered by the way we treat our wife. I'm telling you, God is serious about this. He doesn't play around. So it's not just Pastor Lance is coming. This is God is coming. If we're treating our spouse or in our dating relationship the wrong way. Husbands, this is also going to be very encouraging to you because a lot of us struggle. See, 1 Peter 3 talks about how we are to dwell with our wife in an understanding way. You're thinking to yourself, I've tried to understand and I can't understand. I've tried my best. She's a mystery. This series is going to help you. Ladies, this series is going to help you too, because this series is going to help your man begin to see that the things you said, they're right. This is exactly what he needs to do. Hopefully, ladies, he's finally going to listen as we move throughout this series. You know, one more thing to the ladies, especially if you're single or if you're dating. If you're giving yourself, ladies, to a man sexually, and that is not your husband, that needs to stop now. Because you're giving what is precious and valuable to someone who is not ready to commit to you in the way to say, hey, will you marry me? That's important, ladies. And so if you're doing that, that's got to stop. You're more valuable and important than that. Amen? It's time for change. It's time to humble ourselves and listen to what God has to say to us, because romantic relationships are complicated. Especially when you talk about the relationships here in Clarksville, at Bethel, and at Fort Campbell. It's very complicated. One of the reasons is because a lot of us are in the military, talking about making something that's already complicated more complicated. Being away from each other when it comes to deployments. Another reason is because, man, Bethel, we've got way too many kids. Now listen, I know I set the tone here with five, but my gosh. Let me give you a stat. When we have 400 adults here on a Sunday morning, we have 200 kids. That's a lot of kids. Now, thank God we love to be fruitful and multiply, but that complicates our marriage. Children make it complicated. I know for Dee and I, I'm always thinking, do I ever have time to work on this relationship with this woman that I made these promises and these vows to? Do I ever have time? Well, this is what this series is all about, to focus us, because we need time to grow in our relationships with our spouse. The reason why this can be so complicated, though, is because we believe in what we're going to call today some relational myth. Relational myth. And these myths, what they do is they bring a lot of confusion. They bring confusion when we're dating, when we're preparing to date, or even when we are married. Now, like most myths, when this myth, and we'll see it here as we walk through this, when the myth is uncovered, you look at it and you say, well, that's ridiculous. I don't really believe that. But these myths sit under the current of our thinking and our assumptions about relationships. And what they do is they cause us to make bad decisions. We are controlled by these myths. And because of these myths, we find ourselves usually one relationship after another, wondering, hey, what's wrong? And you think to yourself, why can I not find someone to be with? Or if we're married, we might say, why is it so hard for my husband to change? Or why is it so hard for my wife to change? And the reason why is because this myth is driven by your feelings. And as we know, our feelings go what? Up and down. But we're going to expose this myth today. We're going to expose it today. And this myth that we're going to focus on, there's many of them, but we're going to focus on one of them. It's what's called the right person myth. The right person myth. Pastor Lance, I know what's wrong. I've not met the right person yet. That's why I'm going through all this trouble when it comes to my relationships. Or, Pastor Lance, I know what's wrong. I married the wrong person. This person is not right for me. They used to be 5-10 years ago, but now we're later on in our marriage, and I'm discovering that this is just the wrong person. This is why we fight so much. This is why we don't get along. See, thinking like this, what happens is it begins to take us down a road that we do not want to go. Again, because this myth is controlled by our feelings. I don't feel it anymore, right? I know we may have never said that, but we definitely feel that. I don't feel like we get along anymore. Now listen, first off, your feelings are very, very valid. Our feelings are valid. I'm not trying to invalidate our feelings. They're very valid. But here's the thing. Our feelings will lie to you and I. I know because I've been there. My wife has been there. We don't wake up every day and feel like loving each other. She doesn't wake up every day feeling like she wants to honor me. But she does it because why? We are in a covenant relationship. We're in a relationship that's called a covenant, and we want to honor Jesus in our relationship. Therefore, we make decisions not based on feelings, but based on a conviction that I want to honor Jesus. And what happens when we do that? This myth is broken in our life. Friends, listen to me today. It's never about, am I dating the right person or am I married to the right person? The question is this, am I becoming the right person? This is what Dee and I struggled with. Before this myth was busted in our life, we point the finger at one another. She would point the finger at me and say, we're in this because of you. This is your fault. I'd be like, you crazy woman, this is your fault. We're in this because of you. We point the finger and we would get nowhere in our relationship. But everything began to change for Deanna and I when we made this one simple statement. Let me tell you, this statement that I'm about to share with you is a godly statement. It is a transforming statement. It is a powerful statement. And if both parties, whether you're dating or married, choose to make this statement, everything will begin to change in your relationship. You know what that statement is? I am the problem. Oof, we don't like that, do we? I am the problem. The finger's not pointing at them, the finger's pointing at you. I am the problem. You know, this actually statement is made in your Bible. It's just written a little bit differently. It's called, I am a sinner. I am a sinner is the very same thing. It's saying, I am the problem. In fact, let's just do that together because it's so fun to say in church and you're not going to say it anywhere else. So let's just point the finger at ourselves. Here we go. Let's practice. Point the finger at ourselves. Ready? Here we go. I am the problem. One more time. I am the problem. Man, see how freeing that is? In my romantic relationship, I am the problem. I am the problem. Men. It's not her. It's not her mama. It's not her daddy. You. It's you. You are the problem. I know she's been trying to tell you, but I'm joining with her today. You are the problem. It's you. Ladies, it's not him. It's not his crazy mama. It's not. I know he's attached to her, and that's weird, but it's not her. It's not his daddy. It's not his unwillingness to listen to you. You, it's you, ladies. You. You are the problem. Now, I can hear you right now. Pastor Lance, you don't know what they've done. You don't know what she's done. You don't know what he's done. Listen, we're having a lot of fun, but even if they have committed adultery, even if they have done something that has violated the marriage in another way, if you want your marriage to be successful, if you want your marriage to be transformed, you have to allow the Holy Spirit to work on you. You got to begin to point the finger at yourself. See, a great question to ask when you're going through relational struggles is, God, what do you want to do in me? Oh, that's such a hard question to ask, isn't it? What do you want to do in me? But you can ask it because you're humbling yourself. I am the problem. See, this myth, this right person myth, even goes deeper than this. It's not just, oh, I married the wrong person. This myth is even deeper. This myth lies to us and it tells us if I marry the right person, then everything in my life that is wrong, they will make it right. Oof. Somehow, this right person is going to give me the strength to overcome all of my bad habits, what the Bible calls habitual sin patterns. They're going to give me the strength to overcome all the habitual sin patterns in my life. Man, if I just marry the right woman, I will no longer have the lust problem that I have. Because she's so pretty, because she's so beautiful, she's going to take all this lust in my heart away. It's a lie. Oh, now because I'm married, I'm going to handle money so much better now. Oh. Because she means so much to me. In fact, she's good with money. And so I'm not very good at it, so I will no longer have to worry about my spending problem because now I have her. Or how about this one? Hey, man, I married Mr. Right. Now because I married Mr. Right, all my insecurities, all the things I struggle with are going to simply go away because he is going to meet all of my needs and make all of my dreams come true. Friends, that is a myth. The reason why your spouse, and that is way too much weight to put on your spouse or someone you are dating. And here's why. Because your spouse or your dating partner did not die for you. They are not supernatural. Only Jesus died for you. Only he rose from the dead. Therefore, he has the supernatural power to change you and deliver you and set you free. If you find yourself putting so much weight on your spouse, you're going to kill him or her or your dating partner. Now, I know you're listening to me and you're thinking, Pastor, that just sounds ridiculous. I would never do that. People don't do that. Yes, they do. And it is probably you. You are probably doing it. I know because this was me. I thought Dee was just going, hey, she's my wife, right? We're going to do this. And you know what this is. We're going to do that. All the time. Is my wife in here? Oh, there she's back there. Sorry, babe. That's not our baby, by the way, she's holding. That, thank God. Oh, I don't need another one. They get in the way of this and that. Anyways. Oh, Lord. Thank God my kids are not in here. But that's what we think. He's my husband, she's my wife, they're going to do this. You know, that's what we think, right? This kind of thinking fuels our decision-making. And it really fuels a fantasy that's not going to happen. And one day we wake up wondering, what's going on? Especially if you're married, you wake up thinking, I was better when we weren't married. What is happening? We get confused, frustrated, and eventually what we want to quit. We want to quit. See, but there's something I want to remind you of today. If you're dating or married, here's the thing, friends. You need to be reminded of this. Relationships take hard work. Marriages take hard work. Even dating relationships take hard work. They're like a muscle. A muscle has to be worked on, worked out. You have to work on your relationship. Friends, it takes, hear me, it only takes a pulse to fall in love. Just a pulse. If you have a pulse, meaning you're alive, any of us can fall in love. It takes hard work to stay in love. A lot of hard work. Hard work to stay in love. See, if you've ever said, and this is a very immature and destructive language if you're using this kind of language in your relationship. If you've ever said, why can't you just love me for who I am? You ever heard that before? Why are you trying to change me? If that's being said, you got to repent. Because that is not Jesus. Here's the thing, friends. Dee and I, we're going to do a message together. And this is the one together. And the one thing we're going to focus on is this. And this is not about today. I just had to throw this out there. At some point, especially if you're married, at some point, the very thing that your spouse continues to point out in your life is the very thing that God wants to change. It is God speaking through her or through him to you. It's the very thing he wants to put his finger on and change in your life. It's why it keeps coming up. But it takes work. Now, I know all these things, you're thinking, Pastor, this is all common sense. But yeah, but common sense is not so common when you talk about romantic relationships. Ladies, you know this. You know that you think to yourself, it's common sense that my husband should know what to do. Right, ladies? The dishes are dirty. Somebody has to do them. We don't have a maid. I'm not the maid. It's common sense. But yet you find yourself having to do what? Hey, honey, can you do the dishes? Right? You know that common sense, especially for men, is not so common. Therefore, you have to do what? Talk slowly, right? You got to tell again and again and again. Thank God for this series. It's going to help us today. You know what? I know we're having a lot of fun, but here's the thing. For some of us, we're in a desperate place today. And we're worried. We're really wondering, is this thing going in the right direction? And you're wondering, are we going to make it? Are we going to make it? Can this marriage make it? Some of you today are tired. You're worn out. You're tired of saying the same thing over and over and over again. You're frustrated. You're scared. Not just can this thing make it, you're wondering, can I make it? Can I make it? If you feel like that this morning, guess what? You're in the right place today. This is where you belong today. And this is where Jesus and his message begins to come alive for you and I. Because in Christ, here's the good news. In Christ, a desperate place is always the right place. A desperate place is always the right place. Because when Jesus enters into a marriage, guess what? Everything begins to change. Jesus really does make all the difference when it comes to your marriage or your current relationship. Because you're never going to marry the right person, but you know what? Jesus can make you into the right person. In Christ, you can become the person that your spouse or your dating partner is looking for. And Jesus today wants to step into our life, and what he wants to do is introduce us to the very thing he introduced his disciples to here in John chapter 15. And what he wants to introduce us into is what's called a brand new relational paradigm. And this new relational paradigm, friends, I'm telling you, it is a game changer for us. It is so simple, it's so compelling, and it's so attractive to your spouse. And it is so rewarding to both parties. It's found right here in John chapter 15. Here we have Jesus talking to his disciples. And what he tells them, they would not truly understand till after the resurrection. And these words were so powerful to them. And they are still powerful for you and I today. And he starts out with something that sounds kind of confusing. He starts talking about a vine, a gardener. He says, what? I am the vine. He says, I'm the vine. And he tells us, my Father is what? The gardener. That's God. Every parable that Jesus tells has a God part, Jesus part, and an us part. And here he is, he's telling us, he says, here's how I want you to think about, he starts with himself, your relationship with me. Now you're probably thinking, hold on, Pastor, I thought we were talking about a relationship with my spouse or with my dating partner, my boyfriend or my girlfriend, not Jesus. Jesus is about to show us, though, how a relationship with him makes all the difference in our romantic relationship. Jesus says, I'm the vine. My heavenly Father is the gardener. The gardener does what? He is the one who tends to the vine. And what the gardener does is the gardener cuts off every branch that is plugged into Jesus that is not bearing fruit so that that branch can do what? Bear more fruit. Guess who the branches are? We, that's you and I. We are the branches. Why does God do all this cutting, what's called pruning? Why does he prune or cut the branches? Jesus tells us because the goal here And really the goal of this whole conversation here in John 15 is to explain how people, you and I, get connected to Jesus and how, here's the good news, Jesus begins to live through us, or Jesus calls it bearing fruit. He bears fruit through us. The people that are plugged into Jesus get pruned so that they can bear the kind of fruit that Jesus wants to bear through them. The question then becomes, what kind of fruit? Well, first off, what is fruit? What does that even mean? See, all of us are bearing some kind of fruit. Fruit is simply the outcome of our decisions. It's our reputations. It's a story that we tell, the story that we do tell, and the story that we don't want to tell, but is the true story. That's what fruit is. We cannot escape this concept of bearing fruit. And Jesus is saying here that no matter what fruit has come, that he wants to bear the right kind of fruit through you. So that your relationship with your spouse or whoever you are dating or want to date someday, so that it can honor him. How does that happen? He tells us. We got to be connected to. This is why a relationship with Jesus is of the most importance. This is where it all starts. That we have to connect to or remain, or another word is abide in Jesus. When we abide in him or remain in him, again, this is relational language Jesus is using here. He's telling us that as we do that, things begin to change in our marriage. The marriage that you're dreaming of today, friends, it can happen. It can. But you have to remain or be connected to Jesus for it to happen. He makes it so clear to us. He says without him, we can do what? Nothing. I love the clarity of Jesus. Meaning nothing is going to change. Unless you, husband or wife, are growing in your relationship first and foremost, nothing can change. In your marriage, it starts with your personal relationship with Jesus. Just as my relationship with D takes a lot of hard work, guess what? My relationship with Jesus takes a lot of hard work as well. It's hard. You got to get up and come to church. That's important. Is it the only thing? Of course not. But being connected to a local church is vital, friends. I'm just telling you, to your relationship with Jesus and you growing with Jesus. Reading your Bible, praying, those things take hard work. As you read this, though, you can see that Jesus, with his disciples, is going very slow. He uses the same words over and over and over again. Why is he going so slow? Why is he repeating himself? It's easy. He's talking to a bunch of men. And he knows. Ladies, he knows. I got to go slow. For them to understand what I'm saying, I've got to repeat myself. I got to go slow. So if you've ever wondered, ladies, does anybody understand? Jesus understands. Talk to him about your problem. He understands. But it gets even better. What Jesus is doing is the very same thing that you and I, for those who are married, have already done. We did it at the altar. We made a promise to someone. We made a vow to someone. This is what Jesus is doing here. He's making a promise to us. And the promise is, if you plug into me, here's the great promise. I, this is so good, am going to live through you. Meaning, I'm going to bear the kind of fruit that needs to come from your life so that your relationship can be successful. This kind of fruit radically changes the way you see your spouse and the way you treat your spouse. He defines what that kind of fruit is. Right here in verse 9, he says, just as the Father, this is good, has loved me, so have I loved you. Jesus goes from talking about vine, gardener, branches. Now he's introducing us to what he's talking about when he's saying bear fruit. What kind of fruit? He's saying the fruit of love. Jesus wants us to stay with him or connected to him. Just as the Father, Jesus is saying, has loved me, or just as the Father has demonstrated his love through me, here's what he's saying, Now, I am going to demonstrate the Father's love to you, and I'm going to demonstrate His love through you. Whew. Talk about a game changer. He says, this can only happen if you do what? Remain. That word is so important. And Jesus uses it, remain or abide, over and over and over again in this short passage of Scripture. Because the very thing we connect to Him and remain in Him, guess what? His love remains in us and it begins to flow through us. Can you imagine a marriage where both parties are allowing the love of the Father or the love of Jesus to flow through them? How does this happen? Verse 10, he says, if you keep my commandments, verse 10, if you keep my commands, you do what? Will remain in my love. Now, he said that one word we all hate, commands. Oh, gosh. I'm bad at that, Jesus. Why do you have to use that word, commands? Is it going to be a lot of commands? No, if you read on down to verse 12, Jesus makes it very simple. Here's the one command he gives us. Love each other. Love one another. Now, he makes it more specific. He gives us a perfect example. Jesse, you can come on up, of how we do this. He says, love each other, here we go, as I have loved you. It's a specific kind of love. It's not this feely-touchy kind of love. Yes, that's included. But this kind of love, Jesus is saying, you can only learn this kind of love from me. See, the disciples didn't have a clue what Jesus was saying here about what kind of love he's proclaiming to them. But I'm telling you, they would understand about 2 days later. Because 2 days later, they watched Jesus give his life. They watched him be beat, sacrificed, and tortured for them. Not only did they watch that, they actually encountered the risen Jesus. And they begin to see what kind of love Jesus was talking about. A sacrificial love. A love, husbands, where it's not about you. It's not about getting what you want. It's about turning to her and saying, babe, I want to love you the way Jesus loves me. That's a sacrificial love. I want to lay down my life for you. I want to die for you. It means, husbands, that we put her wishes, her dreams, her desires above our own. That's hard. That's why we got to remain in Christ. The only way this can happen is by giving your life and heart to Jesus. No other faith offers this kind of love. Only Christianity. Because this love I'm talking about only comes from Jesus only. You cannot lay your life down if Jesus doesn't live in here. It's impossible. You're too selfish. That's why you got to remain, stay connected to Him. Husbands, when is the last time you looked at your wife and you asked her this question? Hey, honey, do you like the way our life is going? Do you like the way our marriage is going? Do you like what I do for a living? Do you like where we live? Do you like my job? When's the last time you've ever done that? Now listen, I know a lot of us are soldiers in here and you don't get a choice on a lot of things, but your wife, even though she knows you don't get to choose a lot, she would be so appreciative if you just simply asked her that question. Hey, what do you think? I remember for Dee and I were pastoring this church and I'm having a great time. Surely she's having a great time. One day I realized I've never even asked her, do you enjoy pastoring, Bethany? Do you like that I'm the pastor of church? You get that we're doing this together? It changed our marriage. See, here's the thing. It's in light of what Christ has done for me, I do for him, or I do for her. Well, again, Pastor, you don't know what they've done. Listen, if you ever want the marriage to change, it has to go from what he or she has done to what Christ has done for me. What's he done for me? Pastor Lance, my husband, he's asking me to forgive him. He's done this, he's done that. Should I forgive him? Well, in light of what Christ has done for you, you do for him. Did Jesus forgive you? Now, I'm not saying we don't need to work on it. We don't need to talk and we don't need to do, I got all that. But if it's always about, he's done this, she's done, we're never going to get anywhere in our marriage. We're not going to heal. We're not going to go to the next level. Because what you do is you keep dragging this back into the past every time. Every time you make these statements. In light of what Christ has done for me, this is why. It's not about who I married. It's not about who I'm with now. Are they right? Forget all that. Jesus, what are you doing to me? I am the problem. Start with me, Jesus. Change me. And in light of what you've done for me, I am going to do for him or for her. So here's the scary thing about our marriages. We're going to say this again in the series, but oh man, this is so convicting. I don't even want to say it because it convicts me. Your marriage is a direct reflection of your relationship with Jesus. Your marriage. So that's also saying that how my spouse feels and looks is a direct reflection of my relationship with Jesus. Husbands, if your wife comes here and she looks tired, she's worn out, she's depressed, it's not somebody else's problem, that's your problem. It's a direct reflection of your relationship with Jesus. Ladies, if your husband comes down here and he's beat down because you continue to put your finger on him and look what you've done and I'm never going to. It's a direct reflection of your relationship with Jesus. Listen, I know this is hard, but it's true. And embraced, it will transform your relationship with your spouse. Let's stand to our feet today. God's going to give us strength. Jesus, again, the good news lives inside of us. He empowers us to love this way. Amen. Let's just bow our hands. If you feel comfortable, just lift your hands where you are. Let's just welcome him into our life once again. Jesus, we've been challenged today. Thank you for breaking this myth. The right person.